He shot another look at Ray and stepped into the batter's box. Gene set his glove in the same spot, and the German swung hard a second time. "Strike two," shouted the umpire. This time, Gene didn't say anything. Instead, he called time and trotted to the mound. "Ray, let's let this guy get a hit or walk him. It would do them some good to score a run, give him some confidence, and maybe make a game of it." "You know, Gene," Ray replied, "it's hard for me to purposefully allow a hit or walk some guy. Would you purposefully strike out?" Gene thought for a moment before answering. "No, I suppose not. Can you at least take some of the edge off the ball? We won't let them win. They can't win, and you know it. If they get too far ahead, send in the heat. Let's just give them the opportunity to stay with us and put on a good show." Ray sighed. "Okay, Gene, you got it." The outfielders were playing tight because few Germans hit the ball deep. If Steinhardt could make good contact, he might send the ball over their heads. Gene set himself beside the plate, dropped his mask, and called for the changeup. Ray delivered perfectly. The crack of the bat could be heard by everyone as Steinhardt set the ball straight over the center fielder's head. He ran hard to first base and headed for second, where he stopped and smiled as he watched Ackermann score easily. Gene smiled, too. The German bench came to life. The prisoners had started the game nervous and intimidated. After only their first two at bat, they led, under their rules, 2-0. Next up was the German third baseman Norman Hofeditz, or Stormin Norman as the Americans called him. Hofeditz was one of the best German athletes. He took to hitting as though he had been doing it all his life, and he was coming to the plate with no outs, a man on second, and a 2-0 lead. He walked to the plate, staring down Ray with every step. Gene loved his confidence. Ray always found it offensive. "All right, Stormin Norman, let's see what you got," Gene said, beating his fist into the mitt as Hofeditz took his place in the batter's box. "Wait for your pitch. Be patient." "Yeah, yeah, no need for more. You tell me what I do," Hofeditz uttered through clenched teeth. Ray had been working with Hofeditz on his English. He still needed a lot of work. Ray stepped off the mound and turned back to the plate. Gene knew what he meant. He would turn back in a moment, his face ice cold, and be all business. Ray was turning back around when Gene yelled, "Time!" and he trotted back out to the mound. Ray rolled his eyes and scowled. "What the hell is it now, Gene?" he asked in frustration. "I'm trying to concentrate and get a rhythm going. You keep acting like this is Little League." "Come on, Ray. I know what you're thinking. Don't knock this guy down. Give him your best stuff if you want, but I know that look. For the first time, they're really into this game, Ray. They won't win. They can't win, and you know it. But don't throw at them." Ray stared at Gene for several moments before loosening up a bit. "Okay, boss. But I am not going to let this guy hit. If he gets on, he's going to have to earn it, and there is no way he can earn it." Gene nodded. "Fair enough. Just promise me you won't throw at any of them. You could really hurt these guys. They don't really have a clue how to avoid a fast pitch." "Okay, okay, I get it. Get back to the plate and stay there, would you? I don't want you back in this mound for the rest of the inning." Gene chuckled and trotted back to home plate. Ray's next pitch was so fast, Hofeditz barely saw it. He had never seen anyone throw that fast. By the time his eyes picked up the ball and wanted to swing, it was snapping into Gene's mitt. He swung anyway. "Strike one," shouted the umpire, dancing one step to the right as he pumped his fist out to the side. The pitch electrified the fans, who jumped to their feet and cheered. They had never seen a pitch like that either. The next three blew past Hofeditz for the first out. He smacked his bat in the dirt, muttered something in German, and stomped back to the bench. The next batter was their catcher, Heinrich Müller. "We are winning, no?" Müller said as he smiled at the American and took a practice swing. "You are winning, yes," Gene responded with a smile. "Can you knock your man in from second base?" "I believe I am up to that challenge." "Then let's see what you can do. Ray's not happy, so you have to earn your hit." "I want it no other way," replied the German as he swung his bat a second time and stepped into the box. "It is more fun when Ray is not happy." Gene gave Ray the sign. Ray nodded, went into his stretch, and delivered his forkball in hard and low. Müller swung and missed. He was not even close. "Strike one!" Gene threw the ball back to Ray and turned to Müller. "Do what I always tell you," he reminded him. "Be patient and wait for your pitch. Patient batters tend to get on base more. He's not going to make it easy for you." Müller nodded, having now played enough American baseball to know that Gene's advice was sound. "And it is my wish not to make it easy for him." He stepped back into the batter's box and focused his eyes on the pitcher. Ray wound up and sent a fastball in at the letters. He did not have as much on it this time. Mueller swung and connected, sending the ball high to right field, where the American player easily made the catch. The base runner on second tagged up and ran for third. There were now two outs and a man on third. According to German rules of engagement, they still had two outs left. The next batter up grounded out to the second baseman, but the man on third scored. The score was now 4-0, with one more out to go. Ray was still visibly angry. He motioned for time and waved Gene to the mound. The catcher lifted his mask and laughed. "Me? You want me at the mound? I thought you said you didn't want to see me again for the rest of the inning. Or was it the rest of the game?" The look on Ray's face convinced Gene it was wiser to pay a visit to the pitcher. So he stood up and trotted out to the mound. Ray had a new ball and was doing his best to rub the shine off it, together with its coating. "This is no fun and it's damn embarrassing," he complained, working his hands as hard as he could over the ball. Gene shook his head and replied, "Ray, this is just a silly game for crying out loud. Let's loosen up and have fun. Let's get this last guy out and we'll catch up the next inning." "Try again, buddy. The score is 4-0, but under Mueller's stupid rules, we can only score 3 runs an inning. We can't catch them until the second inning." Gene shrugged. "Second inning? Third? Who cares? They can't win." "Let's get this last guy out. We'll limit them to only 2 runs an inning and we'll score our 3. We'll take it over around the 7th inning and see what needs to be done then. Deal?" "I'm tired of your deals, Gene. No offense, but I'm not holding back anymore. Frank Boudreau is here and I don't want him to think I've lost anything, you know? I'm going to pitch to the best of my ability, or as our unofficial manager, you can put someone else in. How's that deal?" Gene put his hand on Ray's shoulder and answered, "Fine, Ray, but loosen up and have a little fun. This is a game you can tell your grandchildren about, buddy. I think you will remember more about it if you actually enjoy it." Gene looked over at the German bench as he trotted back to the plate. They knew they had gotten to Ray, and they loved every minute of his discomfort. They had lost the war, but the prospects of returning home after winning this last little battle, regardless of how long the odds against them were, was exhilarating. Ray retired the next batter on 4 pitches and 4 swings of the bat. The Americans batted in their 2 runs easily. The Germans scored again in the top of the second, and so it went as the innings flew past. When the Germans stepped up to bat in the top of the 9th inning, the score was a surprising 13-12, with the Americans barely in the lead. Gene had done his best to keep the score close, dropping catches, letting a few pitches slide past, making an occasional bad throw to second, and even striking out twice. The Germans managed to score once in the 9th, which means they ticked up 2 runs under their rules to take a 14-13 lead. The first Navy batter up in the bottom of the 9th was center fielder Tim Milner, who was hitless for the day. As he picked up his bat, Gene hollered over, "Tim, what do you think about a pinch hitter?" "Not much," he yelled back, taking a practice swing. "Who got the first hit this team ever had?" "You did," Gene responded with a smile. "Then let me get one of the last. I can get on, Gene." He winked and stepped toward the plate. It was a little tricky hitting the German pitcher because none of them have ever played cricket. The throwing style was a bit unnerving, and it was sometimes difficult to pick up the ball. Tim took the first pitch for a strike. "Come on, Milner, you only get 2 strikes, Mac yelled from the bench. Mac shot a look at Gene and added, "Damn it, Gene, you should have pulled him." The next pitch came in fast and high, and Tim tagged a high line shot over the shortstop's head. The man who got the first hit, a double, in North Africa repeated his performance with another 2-base hit. The crowd erupted in cheers. "Okay, guys, we only need 2 runs, and this one's in the history books," Gene yelled, clapping his hands as he paced in front of the bench. Chuck Ellens was up next. He took 2 pitches and fouled both. According to Mueller's terms, he was out. Ellens gnashed his teeth and sighed heavily. The last chance for the Americans was Gene. He picked up his bat, grinned at his teammates, and headed for the plate. One man was on second. There was no margin for error. At the very least, he had to get on base, but a home run would end the game. Gene took up the first 2 pitches. Both were high and wide. He fouled away the third. Under the rules, another strike or even a foul ball, and he would be called out. Gene stepped out of the box, took a practice swing, and stepped back up to the plate. He locked his eyes on the pitcher as every spectator stood to watch. Gene felt his heart racing and felt his skin tingling. This sort of moment was exactly what he lived for. The German pitcher took a few steps toward the plate and let it fly. The ball came in waist high right across the plate. Gene swung hard and sent the ball sharply between the left and center fielders. The Navy bench went wild as Gene rounded second and Milner scored the tying run at home. The third base coach motioned for Gene to keep running. Gene glanced back and smiled when he saw the center fielder fumbling for the ball. Gene rounded third and headed home as the ball reached the shortstop. The winning run or final out of the ninth inning would be decided at the plate. As soon as he left third, Gene began doubting the wisdom of trying to score. The third base coach waved him on, but the throw to the shortstop had been perfect. The ball and Gene would arrive at about the same time at home plate, where Mueller was waiting for them both. The German caught the ball as Gene began his slide. Mueller turned to take the tag, just as Gene had taught him to do. As he dropped his arm for the tag, however, the ball popped out of his mitt. Gene's cleats caught the lip of the plate, but his forward momentum carried his body hard against it. The umpire was already signaling safe when a loud and sickening snap was heard by everyone within 100 feet. Most of the crowd was now on its feet, cheering the Navy team for winning in dramatic fashion 15-14. But those closest to the plate, including the umpire and Mueller, knew something bad had just happened. The German popped up on his knees and looked at Gene. His body was twisted funny around home. Mueller's eyes traveled down to Gene's left leg. He gasped when he saw Gene's ankle. It looked as though it was on a hinge, bent completely back into one side. Part of his bone was sticking through his bloody sock. Mueller threw off his mask and stood up. Mein Gott! Medic! Medic! Mein Gott! Help! Gene needs a doctor! He screamed, moving in and out of German and English. Gene grimaced in pain and tried to sit up. He propped himself up on his elbows and looked down at his ankle before falling back to the ground with a loud groan. Damn! He muttered through clenched teeth as a sudden sharp pain began pulsating through his body. This didn't happen. I cannot believe this happened. Don't move, Gene, said the umpire as he knelt down beside the injured player. Gene tried to lift himself up again, but Mueller dropped to his knees and eased him back down. Don't look, Gene. Everything will be all right. Just lay still. Gene nodded and used a hand to wipe the tears running down his cheeks. The pain was becoming unbearable. A stretcher crew arrived to part the crowd of ballplayers who had gathered around the All-Star catcher. Frank Boudreau was with them. Gene, he said as the others moved aside so the scout could speak with his favorite ballplayer. Oh, Gene, just lay still, son. We will get you to the doctor right away. It looks like it's only a broken ankle. You'll be fine, Gene. Hi, Frank, Gene managed through the rolling waves of pain. He groaned aloud before willing himself silent. I'm all right, he repeated over and over. He took a deep breath and tried to compose himself before uttering, Tell the Dodgers. I'll be ready to play. I know, Gene, I know. I'll call Brooklyn right away. I'm sure they'll want their doctors to see you. The medics examined the ankle and carefully eased Gene onto the stretcher. Even that was sheer agony. Gene cried out again. Just lay back, slugger, Frank said, lightly gripping his shoulder. I don't want you to worry about anything. You'll be fine. Gene arrived in the small camp hospital 10 minutes later. The doctors gave him a shot of morphine, straightened his ankle out as best they could and braced it. They wanted to operate right away, but a representative from the Brooklyn Dodgers had contacted the Navy. The team had wanted Gene flown immediately to a surgical hospital in New York City. Who was going to treat him? Even with the morphine, the pain was tough to bear, and his mind was so muddled now from the pain and from the drugs, he could not think clearly. Through the fog, Gene made out a familiar voice that grew louder with each word. He watched as Frank walked up to the porch steps and smiled at him. Do you have any lemonade, Gene? Are your parents home? Sure, I have lemonade. You want a glass, Mr. Boudreau? What's he talking about? Asked Frank. It's the morphine, answered the doctor. It's not unusual. We gave him more. Frank knelt down a few inches from Gene's ear. Gene, it's Frank. Can you hear me? Do you know who's speaking? Gene nodded and opened his eyes. Hello, Mr. Boudreau. Gene, the Navy has agreed to move you to the Veteran Hospital in Brooklyn. The Dodgers doctors will not be allowed to treat you, however, Frank shot a glance at the Navy doctor standing next to him, because you are still the property of the United States Navy. They will, however, be able to consult with the Navy physicians and decide together how to get you catching and hitting as fast as possible. Do you understand? Gene nodded slowly. I think so. Gene, the Navy doctor began, I'm not going to pull any punches with you, son. Your ankle's a mess. It nearly broke off from the rest of your leg. We straightened it some to hopefully prevent any nerve damage, but you need surgery. In my opinion, waiting to move you to Brooklyn is a mistake. You need attention sooner rather than later. He shot a look at Frank. Much sooner. For whatever reason, and I can guess what it is, the Brooklyn Dodgers want you in New York, even though I have assured them we can repair your ankle every bit as well as they can. Thanks, Doc, Gene whispered as he closed his eyes. The morphine made him feel as if he was floating toward the ceiling, and the men gathered around him were holding him down. Gene, it's Frank, continued the scout. We just want to know you're getting the best care possible. Are you okay with this? Ultimately, it's your leg, son. You need to make the final call. Gene smiled and forced his eyes open again. Whatever you say, Frank, I trust you. Just, I want to play ball again. Okay, Gene, I understand. I'll be back as soon as I have some news. Frank touched Gene's shoulder lightly and left. The pain was now completely gone, and Gene was starting to slip off to sleep when his doctor returned. Gene? Yes, Doc? Two armed guards are here, and they have someone who wants to see you. I said no, but Frank Boudreau insisted it would help you. You have 2 minutes, if you can stay awake that long, and then you get some sleep. Hello, Gene? A formless voice whispered in a thick German accent. Gene forced his eyes open and smiled. Above him was Heinrich Müller's sweat-stained, grimy face. Heinrich, Gene responded weakly. You played well. The German shook his head in genuine sadness. Gene, I am sorry. Mein Gott. I did not mean to injure you. Gene shook his head slowly. He felt like he was on top of the Ferris wheel he rode each summer back home at the Franklin County Fair as a wave of euphoria rushed through him. My fault. Not yours. My cleats. Stupid. Müller sought out the American's hand and gripped it tightly. We are proud of what you have taught us. All of us are. We are grateful to you and your team, Gene. The catcher nodded his understanding but did not reply. The doctor tapped Müller on the shoulder and motioned with his head. It was time to leave. The sailor stood by to escort him back to the camp. Heinrich looked down at Gene as he drifted off to sleep. We will meet again, Gene Moore. I am sure of it. The next day, Gene was in a truck, driving on some stretch of lonely highway. It took him nearly 3 weeks to reach the hospital in Brooklyn, New York. Why exactly? He was never able to fully determine. By the time he arrived in the city, his toes had turned a darkish color, and his ankle and foot were grossly swollen. He was alone in the train, balanced on crutches, waiting for someone to help him get to the hospital. He waited in vain. No one was there to meet him. Gene gritted his teeth as he climbed down from the train and made his way to the street, where he found a cab driver who offered to take the feverish sailor to the hospital. When Gene explained that he did not have enough money left to pay the fare, the driver waved him off and helped him into the back seat. He was operated on the following day. 2 weeks later, Heinrich Müller and his German teammates were sent by train to Canada and then shipped to England, which they reached in December 1945. Their excitement about returning home fell away when they learned that they had been sold to the British, as Hans Gobler later put it, and would be working in Scotland. The crew members of the U-505 toiled there for 2 years before being sent back to Germany in December 1947. Chapter 24, The Broken Purple Heart. Life at the Brooklyn VA hospital quickly became unbearable. Gene slept every night in a hospital ward with 20 other men, but Gene just wanted out. His surgery had gone better than expected, his leg was healing, and he was told the cast would come off any day. What made lying there insufferable, however, was his roommates. Their injuries were real war wounds. Most were the result of gunshots, but everything from shrapnel injuries to parachuting accidents were represented. He felt deeply guilty, being in this room with men who had real wounds inflicted by an enemy who had been trying to kill them, not tag them out at home plate. Gene could leave during the day on crutches, and the Dodgers were kind enough to provide him with free tickets to every home game. The bus trip from the VA hospital through Brooklyn was quite an experience. Each city block held more people than all of Franklin County. As he took in the hustle and bustle of the city, He wondered where he would live while playing in Brooklyn. It never ceased to amaze him how many people there were walking the streets. "What did all these people do for a living?" he once asked a bus driver. His only answer was a shrug. The sign leading into the city proudly announced Brooklyn as the fourth largest city in the USA. Gene had no way of knowing whether that was true. Brooklyn reminded him of Chicago, big, busy, and crowded. Everything Cesar was not. Gene fluffed the pillow behind his head and sighed. He could move about the city and see some games, but he desperately wanted to be released and restart his life in baseball. Motor mechanics mate Warren E. Moore